Hi, I'm Vari and welcome to the podcast. I've never had a simple answer to the question, so what do you do? The truth is, I do a lot of things. I'm a writer, a designer, an illustrator, a podcaster, and a coach. The thread that weaves all of these parts of me together is my intention to create connection. Connection to more joy, more peace, and more freedom. Join me as we dive into conversations about intentional living, nurturing creativity, building meaningful connections with our friends and our families, and infusing the work we do with purpose and heart. Let's dive in. Hey guys, it's Vari here. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you are well. It has been a big couple of weeks over here in my world, and I wanted to record an episode to share some of those things, not just over the last few weeks, but really over the course of this year. Obviously, I've mentioned on the podcast before, and if you're familiar with my work or you connect with me over on Instagram, you will know that I have been writing a book this last year, which was published just a few weeks ago on the 1st of September. The book is called Seeds of Courage. And it's been this really beautiful process. For those of you who have written a book before or perhaps are in that publishing world, you will know how that book publishing journey goes. For people like me who were entirely unfamiliar with it, a lot of stuff starts to make sense once you actually go through that publishing journey. So to put a little bit of a timeline around things, I had written the majority of the words that would end up in my final draft of my book last year. And so this year was bringing those words together in a way that made sense for a book. So the book is made up of a series of notes that I had written and shared with my newsletter people last year as part of a project. And I've brought those together and added more notes and had to do some editing and some work with the framework of the book to make sure that it made sense as a complete body of work. So I was working on that in the early part of this year, as well as working on some other projects. And then when the book actually was finalized and all the, you know, behind the scenes things were happening with my publisher and with distribution channels and all of the logistical sides of publishing a book, I wasn't really involved in that stuff. I was busy working with coaching clients, working with design clients, doing my own thing in my own world. So when I got the proof of the book back and had to actually read my words, having had quite a considerable amount of time away from the book, it was a surreal experience to read my words back when I had a little bit of distance between actually writing them and submitting that final draft. And so as I was sitting on my couch with a cup of tea, reading my proof of my book, I was really blown away by just how much I needed to read my own words. And it sounds incredibly cliche, and I actually hate that. But so many of the words that ended up in the book, I don't really feel like they were necessarily my words. There are some phrases, there are some individual words, there's some structure that I don't necessarily recognize as my own. And some people may refer to that as being channeled or, you know, some divine intervention. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I definitely know that I was in a flow state when some of those words were coming through me onto the screen of my laptop. So as I was reading them back, I could see there were things happening in my own life that really required me to live in to the words that I had written in this book. And what I realized is that courage often sounds like something we think we want, right? It can sound like an attractive emotional state to go after. And even though I have written a book that is titled Seeds of Courage, I'm going to call bullshit on this idea that we willingly step towards courage. Because in its very nature, if we are being asked to be courageous, it means that we are taking a risk. It means that we have no idea what lies ahead. It means that we might be out of all options. We might have exhausted all avenues. And we are being asked to really take a gamble, to step into uncertainty and hope for the best. The thing is, courage is only attractive in retrospect. In the moment, it often feels like terror, like a gamble, like a risk, like the last straw. But when we get a little bit further down the road, we look back at those instances of risk and we see it as an act of courage. How beautiful is it to know that that is always available to us? That this thing that is in front of us at the moment that's asking us to take a risk, in the not too distant future, we will look back at that same circumstance and be so proud of the courage that we were able to bring to that situation. Some of the things that I can look back on and really recognize that courage retrospectively are things like when I got divorced. That felt like a massive risk. It felt like a huge leap into the unknown. I had met my then husband when I was just 19. I was married at 23. I moved to Australia with him when I was 24. We had our first child together when I was 25. And then when I was in my early to mid 30s, I found myself getting divorced. My entire adult life had been with this person. And now I was stepping out and I had literally no clue what even the next day would look like, let alone the next week or month or year or decade. At that time, I did not think I was being courageous. I thought I was taking a risk. The same is true when I moved to Australia. I'd never even been to Australia on holiday before, but I chose to move here with the view of it being a permanent, long-term, potentially forever move, which I know nothing is forever, but there's always been a sense of home for me in Australia as soon as I arrived here. So there was definitely a forever kind of energy around that choice at that time. But again, we had no idea what it would look like. We moved here with a backpack each. Neither of us had jobs to come to. We didn't have anywhere to live. We stayed in the spare room of one of my ex-husband's high school friends' cousin's workmates. Again, who we had never met before. We sent an email a few weeks before we arrived in Melbourne. We got a taxi to this house when we landed here, and we went on to become really good friends with those people over the next couple of years. And we had our kids around the same time and we ended up living in the same area. So it all worked out perfectly. But at the time, it was a massive risk. We had no idea if we would like life in Australia, if we would make friends, if we would be able to find jobs, if we would just enjoy the lifestyle here. And so many people would say, oh, you're so brave, or you're being so courageous by making this move. It didn't feel like that. It felt really, really risky. But it was risk with an undercurrent of excitement and optimism. It wasn't a risk that came with dread and fear. And I think that's a subtle distinction between risks when we're going to take them. Like, we know the energy underneath that risk. We know if that risk feels expansive or feels contractive. And I think when we can tune into that, we can take bigger risks and have our own back a little bit more. Another time where I have later recognized my courage was when I decided to quit drinking alcohol. It has been almost 5.5 years now since I removed alcohol from my life. And again, I didn't know what my life would look like without alcohol. I had been drinking pretty much daily since I was probably around 18, 19. I've said it before that I was the accidental daily drinker. I would have great intentions of having an alcohol-free day and then would find myself with a glass of wine whilst I was making the dinner or out with friends. It was an ever-present thing in my life. And so for me to decide to remove that completely from my life, to change so much of my identity around that, I was always first at the bar and last to leave. At uni, I was the girl that would drink pints with the boys. I would be, the friend that would be the one that would bring the bottle of wine to someone's house before we would go out for the evening. And so for me to remove that part of my identity came with huge risk. It came with risk to relationships, to friendships, to how I would interact with people in the world, what I would spend my evenings doing, what I would spend my weekends doing. There was so much uncertainty in it. But again, it's that risk with that little bubble of excitement of, this could be amazing. This could be greater than I ever expected it to be. And so that risk later felt like courage. And again, people have said to me, you're so brave for, you know, completely cutting out alcohol from your life, or still going to, you know, the get together at the pub or the wedding or the party and not drinking any alcohol. But for me, at the time, it felt so risky, but I can recognize now where it was that courage at play. Courage is really figuring things out by doing them. We don't just get to feel courage and then do the things. We have to do the things, and then the courage is the byproduct of doing the risky things. And I think that's really important for us to consider, because we want to make sure we're taking care of our nervous systems, that we are not frying ourselves, that we are living, you know, outside of our comfort zone 24/7. I think that mentality, that hustle mentality of we have to be going out and taking these huge, ginormous risks every single day, otherwise our life is not worth living, or we are not creating any contribution or having any purpose in the world. I call bullshit on that. I think those small little risks that we can take daily, and yes, there will be some times where we're asked to take a bigger risk, but that bigger risk, it only seems bigger because of the perceived idea of what we might lose. The actual act in and of itself in the moment is small and is gentle. It can be simply saying no. It can be saying, this isn't working for me. It can be saying thank you and goodbye. Those feel like big risks because of what we imagine the consequences of saying those things will bring. But the act of actually saying those things is pretty small and pretty gentle and pretty calm. And that's the thing. Courage is often very calm. It's often very invisible. It's not these big, extroverted, grand gestures out there to the world. They often come in moments of solitude or moments of intimacy. And often, courage is in not saying anything. Courage can come in being silent. Courage can come in choosing not to do the thing as opposed to doing the thing. Another example of where I can see courage at play now, and where at the time I was told it was courage but didn't necessarily recognize it in the moment, was when I decided to shave my head last year. I had no idea what I would look like, what shape my head would be, if I would have any random lumps and bumps and scars on my head. I was a bit of a tomboy when I was a kid, so there was a high possibility that there were some ugly looking scars from falls out of trees on my head. But I chose to do it anyway, and I was willing to deal with the discomfort, the potential discomfort of that choice. I didn't know if I'd like it. I didn't know if I would feel attractive. I didn't know if others would perceive me differently if I wasn't the girl with the long beachy hair. And it was really interesting to see the change in perception of me from people who didn't know me. It made me realize just how much we often judge people, and not necessarily in a negative way, but the perceptions and the stories we tell ourselves about people based on what they look like. It was really interesting because I felt like the same person, but I recognized that I looked like a very different person. And so taking the risk to do that without there being certainty that I was going to like it was definitely a courageous choice. But in the moment, it just felt like risk. So I guess what I want you to recognize with all of these examples is that you don't have to feel courageous. You just have to take the risk. It won't feel like courage in the moment. It'll just feel like a risk. It'll feel like a gamble. But know when you take that risk or take that gamble, you will recognize that as courage down the track. Here's something I've recognized just in the last couple of months. Courage is what we later call those risks, but not necessarily if the risks paid off. We don't have to get the result that we hoped we would get in order to be able to recognize it as courage and to be able to recognize it as being worthwhile. So many of the risks that we take, we don't get the result we expect to get. But the payoff is usually far greater than we could ever have imagined. So it's not about taking the risk and being able to say, yep, that risk was 100% correct because I got exactly what I wanted. 9 times out of 10, you will not get what you expect to get by taking that risk. But I can almost guarantee that you will get more than you could ever have imagined. The way our brains develop our desires, the way our imagination works, it has nothing on what is actually possible for us. So we might take that risk to start a business and the business might fail. But who are the people that we met along the way? What did we learn? Who did we connect with? What other ideas did we have? Where did that path take us? These are the things that we need to consider when we take risks. We will not always get what we expect. Very rarely will we get what we expect. But what if what we do get is far greater than what we expect? I was on a client call with one of my long-term clients this week, and this word came up again that she has used throughout our coaching journey over the last couple of years. And I've questioned her on this word before, and I did it again this week. And it's around this idea that she says she likes to be challenged. And this was in a few different contexts, but this idea of wanting to be challenged. And I questioned her on this desire to be challenged. Like, do we actually want to feel challenged in our lives? Probably not, there's very few of us that are putting our hand up saying, give me some more challenges, please, universe, right? I think if anything, we're saying, can you just stop with the challenges? Can we have even just a day where we don't get faced with yet another challenge that we need to overcome? And so it opens up a really beautiful conversation for us to have around the intentionality and the energy behind words. And this is something I've spoken about heaps on the podcast here, is that there can be words that can seem very similar, but they have a very different undercurrent to them, a very different energy to them. And through our exploration of this word challenged, what it was that she was actually wanting to feel was this sense of evolving, this sense of expansion, right? And so she wasn't aiming to feel challenged, but welcoming in the challenge was going to be the vehicle that would allow her to feel what she actually wanted to feel, which was growth and expansion and unfolding and evolution, right? We don't want to feel challenged. We want to feel the results that we will get from accepting the challenges and moving towards them. The same is true for courage, right? We don't want to walk to courage often, right? We don't want to invite it in because it does feel really uncomfortable. We don't want to feel courage, but we want to feel the results that we get from taking the risks that later will let us recognize those risks as courage. As I mentioned at the start of the episode, as I was reading the proof copy of my book and really seeing the parts of my life in real time that were requiring me to take the risks that would result in courage. And I think this isn't spoken about often enough. We hear from a lot of teachers, from a lot of coaches, from a lot of people on social media who are sharing really valuable insights and tools and lessons, whether that's on business or on relationships or money or career or whatever it may be. We often hear them talk about their past failures and how they were courageous to keep moving through. You know, if you're in business, you will no doubt have heard people that talk about when they ran the workshop and no one showed up, when they, you know, made an offer and they got zero signups, when they had a really great idea for something and it cost them $10,000 and made them $100, right? We hear those stories from the past, but what we don't often hear are the stories where people are having to cultivate that courage. They're having to take the risks in the moment, right? And I think it can make us feel quite shameful and like we are not as far along as other people because we're hearing their quote-unquote failures from the past that they've now overcome. So, you know, the business coach now has a multi six or seven figure business, right? And a couple of years ago, they had zero people showing up to their workshops, but they're in a different place now. But if we're told that, you know, failure is inevitable in life, again, whether that's through business, work, relationships, whatever it may be, where are the stories of people facing failure in real time? We don't often hear those stories, right? And I'm also very conscious of not sharing in real time when you haven't gone through the process yourself. That can be incredibly unhelpful for other people to hear. Again, no doubt you've come across people either on podcasts or online where there's a sense that they're very much still in the thick of it, right? There can be bitterness, there can be criticism, there can be defensiveness, there can be judgment. It feels like an overshare, right? And that's absolutely not helpful. And that can be very triggering to the people who are also in it and hear these, you know, so-called experts or gurus speaking about it whilst they are still in the thick of it as well. I get that. That's not what I'm saying that we should be sharing. we should be sharing those stories that we are facing at the moment that are challenging, that we're working through. I think that is incredibly helpful. And it minimizes this hierarchy of people, of different levels of growth and success and self-awareness and self-actualization. So for me, this last year, there has been quite a few challenges in my life that have asked me to expand and to grow and to evolve into that next version of me. Over the last couple of months, I have been navigating the completion of a relationship. And this is something that's really asked me to take risk, to speak up, to ask the questions that I wasn't certain of the answer to, but asking them anyway. And there's incredible risk and vulnerability in that. That's an act of courage, to be able to do that and to be okay with whatever happens on the other side. Often when we're in these places, and I know this was true for me, there can be a lot of rubber banding back to where we were. I speak about this in the book, this idea of, you know, we will step out of our comfort zone, we'll maybe have the conversation, ask the question, and if it isn't the response that we necessarily wanted, we might stick to our guns. And then we'll default back. We'll come back to that familiar known, even if we need to compromise what is true for us and what our wants and needs are, in order to get back into that familiarity, to that comfort of the known. Even though it's not what we actually truly want for ourselves, there is so much comfort in the familiarity, in the known, as opposed to out there in the unknown, where we feel often very untethered and ungrounded and unsettled. And I know that was true for me. There were a lot of rubber banding moments over the course of this year. And so to have the courage to be able to take a step forward and find home in that place, to find a steadiness in that place, to feel a sense of settledness in that place. And then when I was ready, I got to take another step. So what, it sounds so cliche, one step at a time. But if we take a giant leap forward, or we run 100 steps, we're just going to turn and we're going to run 100 steps back. And that was true for me. I had to take one step and find steady ground in that new place, and then take another step. And it's been such a beautiful act of self-care, of gentleness and kindness towards myself, and giving myself spaciousness for me to catch up with my own life that in many aspects had been put on pause for a long time because of this fixation and attraction to the familiar. Another circumstance for me this year was, at the start of the year, I had been made an offer by a long-term client that I had worked with for many years. I'm doing a lot of graphic design and branding work for their organization. And we'd had a really great working relationship over those years, me very much as a freelance contractor into their business. And at the end of last year, through a few different conversations, I had been given the offer to become an employee within this organization. And for me, I stepped out of being an employee back when my first son was just born, which was 14 years ago now. It was a huge consideration for me to become an employee again, to scale down my coaching clients and the work that I really loved and had built and grown over the years, to step into an organization and be part of that. I considered it for a couple of weeks, and we had some negotiations, and we developed a role that was for me, that was going to be 3 days a week. And this was something that I didn't feel courageous enough to share openly. I was a bit kind of closeted as an employee because I didn't want to be perceived as my business wasn't successful enough that I had to take a job. And I know this is so true for so many creatives, this deep shame that if the thing that we do that we love cannot sustain our lifestyle, cannot pay our bills and put food on the table, then it's not legit. Intellectually, I knew that was bullshit, but energetically, I wasn't there yet. And so I took on this role at the start of the year. And without going into too many of the murky details, because it's actually not even important, I realized, one, that employed life was definitely not the life for me and did not align with my values of joy, peace, freedom, and intimacy that I make all my decisions through. But I made this decision because I had an even bigger intention that I wanted to fulfill. And that intention was I wanted to purchase a home for me and my sons. Having my own business wasn't going to be enough for the banks to give me the green tick of approval that was needed for me to be able to purchase a home for my sons and myself. And so I saw this opportunity as a really great way to be able to do that. So long story short, I worked for the organization for 5 months, and then they decided to move in a slightly different direction and make the role that we had created together for me, to make that role redundant. This was incredibly scary for me because I had just purchased my house with my boys. I had made my first mortgage payment and I had scaled my business back to 2 days a week of private clients in order to take this job. So as you can imagine, at the other side of that 5 months, there were a lot of actions I needed to take to get me back to a place that felt secure and felt safe and have me doing work that I really resonated with again. And that was fantastic. But really, the real risk for me was choosing to take that job in the first place. The courage wasn't in having to build up my client base again, because I had done that numerous times over and I knew how to do that. The biggest risk for me was putting my time and my resources in the hands of someone else. Now, when I look back now, it was perfect. It unfolded perfectly because it allowed me to get the mortgage from the bank because I had some payslips, and it let me purchase the home that I'm in now with my boys. And it let me get back to doing the work that I really loved and really fills me up and gives me that freedom and gives me that creativity that I wasn't able to have whilst working for this organization. So I share these stories to kind of out myself as someone who is very much in the practice of taking risks, knowing that it will be courageous a little further down the road. I didn't take these choices because I felt courageous. I took the risks and recognized them as courage afterwards. So hopefully that offers a little bit of comfort. If you are in a place where perhaps you feel a little bit ashamed of where you're at the moment, if you feel like everyone else's failures seem to be so far behind them, yet yours are front and center and not giving you a minute's rest, I completely understand that. There are challenges that I'm facing right now on a day-to-day basis. And I know that those daily risks are what creates a courageous life. Right? And we don't really want our lives to be all set in stone and laid out in front of us. right? We want there to be expansion. We want to learn new things. We want to come up with new ideas and connect with new people and show up in new ways. And so I share this episode to give you some advice from that future place, that those risks that you are taking today will be courage soon enough. And it's those little acts of courage daily that go to make up the most beautiful, adventurous, wondrous, and curious life you could imagine. That's all for this week's episode, guys. If you would like to purchase my book, Seeds of Courage, you can buy it at most places you buy books. So it is available on Amazon, on Booktopia here in Australia, on Barnes & Noble in the US, wherever you get your books, or you can speak to your local bookseller and ask them to order it in for you, or your library. I'm a big fan of the library. It offers lots of practical ways that we can kindle our courage so we can start moving our lives forward little by little, bit by bit. It's not about giant leaps into the unknown. It's about, as I said, taking that little next step and finding safety and finding home in that step. So if that sounds like something that would be helpful for you, I'd super appreciate if you bought the book, or if it's for perhaps as a gift for someone who you know and perhaps needs to feel a little bit more courageous in their lives. Thanks as always for listening, guys. If we're not connected over on Instagram, come and say hi. I'm at Fari McKechnie, and you can find out about all the different ways I'm working with people at the moment over on my website. It's farimckechnie.com. Have an amazing week. Do the small things, and I'll speak to you soon.